He won't get sacked. That's absolutely not going
to
happen.
We've, as a club, probably tried to hold that ideal of no fear.
I've been hearing some commentators really having a go at our club. I'll just keep that in the back of my head and I'll use it later.
If I was an opposition coach, I'd be targeting it.
I crawled under that rock in my room by myself, got an ice cream from the shop and watched some golf.
I always knew that if you won a premiership, it'd be an awesome feeling, but I underestimated how good it is to make other people feel good.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Yeah, great to have your company in the Inner Sanctum on the Breakfast Club every single day that we do it through the footy season. We love having the expertise and the insight from the players that make the Inner Sanctum tick. And one of those is Sam Doherty from the Blues, who joins us again in 2018. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. Thanks, gents, for having me.
Not a problem, pal. Not a problem. Now, of course, you would love to be in here after feeling really sore and tired after a game on the weekend, but you're not at the moment due to your knee injury. How's that progressing? Where are you at in your rehab?
Yeah, so it's going really well. I think I'm around week 20. Did it November last year, so I've been running for about 7 to 8 weeks. Just started a bit of offline running and slowly building my Ks up. It's coping really well with it. I've had no swelling or no soreness, so it's fingers crossed so far. It's going well.
Was there a layer of pain that was inflicted again a couple of weeks ago on round one? Because you go through the preseason and you know that you're not playing, that's fine. Do your rehab. But when they start playing, does it sort of stab you in the guts again?
Yeah, I've done a bit of coaching stuff, which is sort of easing that pain a little bit. But it's definitely hard when the team gets in a bad place. We've sort of had 2 weeks in a row where round one we had two players go down and I'm sitting on the bench just itching to run on the ground, which I found really hard. And then last week, obviously not playing the way that we wanted to play, there's a feeling of helplessness as a leader of the footy club that there's not a hell of a lot you can do. There's a bit you can do in terms of talking to the players and helping them understand what we need to do and them going out and implementing that. But there's also a level of a player that just wants to run out there and just do it himself.
Yeah. Is it nice, though, to have that influence and involvement game day, though, even though it's not on the field, but you are allowed to be on the bench, which I think is a fantastic opportunity for you?
Yeah, I have a bit of a passion in coaching anyway, and I was lucky enough that Steve Hocking pretty much made up a new rule this year for me to to be able to go on the bench, which has been great. But it adds in a layer that I still feel involved in the group, and my head and everything's still in the week-to-week game sort of grind. I don't have the physical grind in terms of going out and playing and recovering, but in terms of tactics and helping the coaches and then implementing that on game days, I'm finding it really enjoyable, and it's definitely keeping me ticking.
So do you spend the week as a coach with the coaches?
I split it. I sort of have priorities. My rehab's number one priority, yeah. So I have to make sure I get all that done, but where I can, the physios and the club have been really accommodating, where I can sort of fit my weights and my biking, my cross training around a few meetings if I want to go to them. And Bolts has been really good that if I want to go to any meeting, I've just got to make sure I fit it around my rehab and come in. So
cool.
It's been really good. I've got to shoot off to a meeting after this for game day tomorrow.
Of course, yes. Friday night footy against the Magpies, Rama.
So some guys want to be, when they have a long-term injury, be completely away from the football club. You've already had a couple of weeks overseas. Was that more for study? Was that more for a holiday? What was that about? And are you going again overseas through the next little period of time?
Yeah, so I went over to the US. That was a fair while ago now, about 6 weeks ago. It was a terrific trip. I had a bit of study, sort of coaching experience where I got to go and look at the Celtics and the way their organisation runs for about 5 days, which that was great. But then a lot of it was a bit of a mental refresh for me. I put in a fair bit in terms of coaching and rehab when I was here for the first 12 weeks. And on the end of that 12 weeks, I ran, and then it was good just to get away and mentally refresh and then reset for the season coming. So originally it was going to be a more coaching sort of fueled trip, but in the end it sort of split 50-50 in terms of getting my head right, ready to go.
So the mental side of rehab, in my opinion, in a long-term injury is probably more important than the physical side. You talk about the coaching that you're doing now with the team. What other outlets are you using to keep yourself mentally fresh, to keep yourself mentally motivated?
Yeah, so I've sort of, the club's been really good again. It's every sort of 4 to 6 weeks I've been able to get away and do something. There's been the big block of 2 weeks where I went to the US, but basically every 4 weeks around that I've either gone to a trip to Sydney or a weekend away with my girlfriend, or and they just sort of give you the weekend off. They say, if you want to go away here, just go away. And as long as you, it's sort of the main rule has been, as long as you, when you're here, you're putting in and you're getting everything done. It's sort of with a 9 to 12 month injury, you sort of, they're pretty free with what they give you.
Can you explain the feeling of when you ran again 8 weeks ago? What it felt like, because you hadn't run for so long, obviously. Was it joy that you were able to do that again, or was it retraining yourself to say, yes, I can actually do this again?
No, it was complete joy. It's the one thing that, as a footballer, when you're doing the grueling pre-season training sessions, you actually hate them at the time, but when you can't do them, you have this craving and you miss the feeling of being out there and doing it. And step one of that is being able to run again. So I got to run, and I there's a bit of vision of it. And Sam Rowe, who's just done his knee, saw me just going out to run. So he came out and started yelling at me from the sidelines for the 15 minutes I was out there. So it's one of those joyful feelings of being able to get back and start sort of progressing to do what I do, which is play football. And quarter of that is being able to run around.
What's it like? I mean, you walked into the studio. For those that are just listening, it's not like you're on crutches or anything like that. You walked in, you look normal. What does it feel like, you know, just to walk around the kitchen and get dinner ready, or, you know, go to bed, go to the bathroom? Is it just like walking around like there's nothing wrong?
Yeah, now it's there's nothing wrong. Originally, there was a fair bit of stiffness in terms of, because one of the main markers of when you do your ACL is being able to get your leg straight again. It doesn't go straight for 10 to 12 weeks. It just stays slightly bent for that, and if you're lucky, by the time you run, which is usually at 12 weeks, you get sort of full range of extension back, which is straightening your leg. So there's a little bit of discomfort early days. It's genuinely locked at 45 degrees almost, which is not very comfortable at all when you're trying to sit on the couch or lay down in bed. You could have pillows under your legs and stuff. But in terms of now, I'm at 20 weeks, it's no issues at all. The only thing I'm a little bit nervous on is when I turn around or trying to change direction, but that's because I haven't done any of it in terms of running or any of that. But it's slowly progressing. The things with ACLs injuries is... what I'm finding now is that they're frustrating either way. I'm going really well, but then I'm getting frustrated because I have to get pulled back all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's a better frustration than if I was the other way and it wasn't going great, and then having to get through that sort of... But that's just an injury, I guess. That's the part of the parcel of playing AFL footy is when you do get injured, there is this level of frustration of missing games. There's the mental aspect of you not being out there, plus the overall rehab phase of how well you're going versus how poorly you could be going. It's just a constant battle against yourself, really. But I am going really well, and it's been a journey so far. But I'm probably just ticking over halfway.
So this is going to be pretty cool, because we're going to go on the whole journey with you this year. And probably the question I want to ask, one, where you're at right now. So we spoke just before that you've just started your offline. When will you be going back into skills training? Because that's another huge step. And then is there still the hope or the thought of potentially playing at the back end of the season?
Yeah, so at the moment I am offline. I've started my jump and land sort of stuff, and hopefully be able to go to the gymnastics gym within the next couple of weeks. And that'll be a big marker. I've been able to actually do some proper jumping and stuff like that. And so the next few weeks are progressing my offline stuff to cutting, then to agility drills. Then from that, we'll increase basically kilometres distance. And then I'm not exactly sure exactly when the back to training is. I know it's a few phases. We've got them in phases rather than just 12 weeks, 16 weeks, 18 weeks, 20 weeks. It's more once you complete what you need to complete, then we'll move you into the next phase. So I'm assuming it'll be in sort of in the next sort of 2 to 3 months somewhere. There is hope at the end of the year, but we'll have to make that decision as we go. There's a level of risk when you just do your ACL. It can be somewhere around 9 months, which puts me really late in the year. But there's also a certain level of risk that is associated with that. So we'll have to weigh up how the club's going, how my knee's going, how well it's tracking, how well I'm training. So, but in terms of me, it always does give me that little bit of hope that I, if we get there later in the year, then I can come back and play, hopefully.
We want to talk more about just Carlton in general with you, but the one final one I've got is you're coming off an All-Australian year. Are you really just angry with the world, or were you angry with the world? Thinking, come on, I've just played the best season of my life. I'm an All-Australian, and I just can't do what I want to do.
Initially, I was genuinely shattered, and everyone is when you do, when especially with an ACL, it's sort of, it's just a block 9 to 12 months. It depends how you go, but in terms of now, I've sort of come to the realization that there's no point worrying about that sort of stuff. I can't control that. I've obviously done the injury, and there's really nothing I can do for 9 to 12 months. I can just lock down and enjoy the time that I've got in terms of the time at the club and the time coaching. That's the way that I've gone. But I've seen a lot of players go the other way and worry about, oh, I'm not playing, or stuff that you can't control. There's absolutely no way I can play next week. So there's no point in me stressing and worrying about the fact that what could have been, when in reality that will never be the reality until 20 weeks from now. So in terms of the getting angry at the world, and I haven't really been. I've been pretty pragmatic about it and understood that it's a process, and it's I'm not the only one going through it in the AFL. I was lucky enough to do mine at the start of preseason, so I didn't have to run my ass off to get fit enough then to do my ACL. Like, I've seen, I looked at a few of the boys that did it in round one, like round one, end of JLT, Will Setterfield, Tyson Goldsack. They're the ones that hurt, because you've done all the work, then to get there to not be able to play, that would be more frustrating, and that would hurt a lot more.
Yeah, not good either way. Whenever you do it, not good, but at least if you are going to do it, you don't have to push yourself through the start of the preseason. That makes sense to me. 20 past 7, if you just joined us, that's the voice of Sam Doherty from the Blues, who's joined us in the Inner Sanctum, and will throughout the remainder of 2018 as well. We'll talk about the Blues and about some footy on-field action after this on The Breakfast Club. 26 past 7, Sam Doherty with us from the Blues in the Inner Sanctum. There's been plenty happening in the world of footy the last couple of weeks. He's been on the sideline watching it from ground level, which I reckon would be cool if you can't play. But what have you made of the opening couple of weeks for your boys, the Blues, Sam? Because week one, that first three quarters against Tigers was unbelievable. And last week was very disappointing.
Yeah, week one was offensively a big tick from where we've been in the past, but defensively a fair way off where we've been in the past. So there's a bit of mixed emotions coming out of that game. We felt we put ourselves in a good position to win the game, and obviously the Tigers are a class outfit and ran over us in the end, and obviously having Cruiser and Kennedy go down sort of second quarter, and Cruiser tried to run around for the last but unsuccessfully. But it was tough to watch that one, and on the weekend it was out of character for our group. We were very fumbly, we were very away from the way we usually play. We were lucky enough that We did play okay. We had 67 inside 50s, which we haven't done for a very, very long time, and kept the ball in our half for a losing side an extraordinary amount of time, extra 10 minutes in our forward half. So there were some positives out of the game, but the fundamentals of the game, which is what really hurt us when we were blatantly out to hit a target we missed, kicked it to them, and then they turn over goal. So that's more the stuff that killed us on the weekend. And it's a growing process for us. It is a new group together. I think we had another 10 changes last year, so we're trying to grow that synergy with the new group, and we're learning as we go, and done a fair bit of training, fair to say, on our clean hands this week.
Yes. You talked about the week one, the offense was great, defense not so much. What we've known from Brendan Bolton is he's built the style of game from defense forward. And the last couple of years, you've been moving the ball slowly forward so you can set up behind and give yourself some safety nets. This year, certainly in that round one game, we saw a real offensive flow. How much of the training component of the preseason was about being more offensive as opposed to just building up slowly like you had in the last couple of years?
Yeah, we did a lot. We did. We had to grow our offensive game and our offensive ball movement. Our ball movement from last year did allow us to defend quite easily, which was great, but it also didn't allow us to kick a winning score or get far enough in front to put teams away. So we had to grow that part of our game, and and you probably saw in round one, a result of training that a lot. We trained to death and came out and put into place that.
So that must have been pleasing to be able to see that on the scoreboard.
Yeah, it was great, and it gave a lot of confidence to the group that we can do it. Yeah. We put five goals on the reigning premiers from last year within 5 minutes. So that gives confidence the group can actually do it. And now it's about tinkering with the when we go versus when we sort of slow it down a bit, because you can't play that high octane footy for 120 minutes. It's impossible. So it was learning from our first week to be able to control the game and get a feeling for the moments in games where we can go fast or go slow. And then obviously our defence around that, tinkered with a couple of things, and that's been really helpful for us.
One of the talking points with Carlton the last couple of weeks has been Jacob Wietering. What role do you play as a senior player now in trying to build his confidence up? What role does Brendan Bolton play, and what role does Jacob himself play to try and recapture some form?
Yeah, it's the three. It's the three of us working together. He's only in his third year, so he's really in his infancy of his career. So they'll learn more from these few weeks than they will from when they're playing well, because this is when you have to go back and look at your game and start to understand what's going right, what's going wrong, how do I fix it. So he's done a fair bit of self-evaluation over the last few weeks, and I help him out. He's sort of one of my close mates at the club, so I really help him out as much as I can. And Bolter's trusting him to give that, and he's giving him plenty of motivation and in terms of, I'm trying to think of the right word here, I'm going to just move on anyway. lost what I was saying. He's just trying to instill some confidence in him, and he's showing him confidence to be able to play the way that he should be playing, and he knows he can play.
Is it going to the VFL? Because I think often we see that as, oh, he's kind of the VFL, he's really struggling. Or is it sometimes that players need to go back and get an easy kill, so to speak, get the confidence back and play some good footy? Or can he do that still playing AFL footy?
I think he can still do it in AFL footy. I obviously don't know the team for this week. I actually haven't been in selection this week. So, but there's two ways you can go. There's the way of going back to VFL where you try and give some confidence. It's no offence to the VFL, but it is a lower standard to what the AFL is. So it allows you to go back, get some confidence. For example, Jack Silvani goes back last week, kicks three goals, gets a bit of confidence in his game, so then That definitely translate to AFL footy. So that there is that way where you put them back in the VFL and try and gain the confidence that way, or there's you leave them in the AFL and say, mate, I'm backing you in, and that's the other way you go.
Is it a case of settling him down in one position? Now, he was a multiple All-Australian at junior level. He seems to be the one, though, out of that back line that always is pushed forward. It's not Plowman, it's not now Liam Jones, obviously. It's not Marchbank down there. Is it a case of settling him down, or is it a case that he's the only one that can play forward out of that group?
There's a bit of both. It's the strength of his game that he can actually, as a third-year player, he can play both ends. It's obviously we'd prefer him to play back, and he'd probably prefer to play back, but in times of necessity, we have the ability to be able to throw him forward, which... last week, Crew's not getting up. We needed a ruckman. A few of our other ruckmen just are a bit underdone, so we had to be a bit creative in that sort of space. So, which put Levi on the ruck, and then it was a choice of who we played forward. We thought that it would be an option to put Weeders there, which whether it was right or wrong last week, whether it helped or it didn't help, that's the option we went. And the confidence to be able to do that for him and play that way, but. I love him in defence, and I think he's trained all his pre-season in defence, so that's where you'll see him predominantly, but it does allow the flexibility that he can do it.
So you come up against Collingwood this week. Do you guys still feel that rivalry with them?
Yeah, definitely. I don't like too many other teams, but I'll be blatantly honest, but Collingwood are right up there with my most hated, but I've been a Carlton supporter since I've been sort of born, basically, so... It's entrenched in me, but they're always great games. I think the thing that fuels the rivalry is the crowd. There's so many people that rock up, and there's so many passionate supporters from both sides that it just builds that intensity and that and that vibe on game day. And obviously there's been plenty of battles in the past between the two clubs that have been historic. So there's the part of history, and there's the part of the fan, and then there's also the part of the footy club that we need to go out there and get a win this week too.
Well, Carlton and Collingwood do play tomorrow night for the 9th Richard Pratt Cup, raising awareness of the incidence of prostate cancer, the most common cancer amongst Australian men. So I'm sure the supporters of both clubs will get out there in force to support that cause as well.
And I know we're running out of time. Cruiser, will he play?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he trained during the week. So as long as he gets through everything today, you never pencil anyone in, because there's always the captain's run that something can go wrong. So touch wood, nothing goes wrong, but I think he should get up.
All right, well, it's going to be a big game tomorrow night to kick off round 3, Carlton and Collingwood at the MCG. CarltonFC.com.au. If you haven't joined up yet to be a member, do so today. Doc, great to see you, mate. Look forward to seeing you through the year.
Thanks very much for having me.
Not a problem. Sam Doherty with us from the Blues in the Inner Sanctum. We'll get to the news with Johnny Bowden. Sherelle McMahon will join us after this from the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games.